Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. And we're going to start out in verse 9 here and read down through this chapter and see what the Lord has to say to us this evening. Here in Hosea chapter 4, and starting in verse 1, the Bible says this: "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame, and they eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and the spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not yet unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear, the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices." Strong language in there, isn't there? Let's start out with a word of prayer, and we'll get started here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that you'd be with us tonight. Lord, we do thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, I thank you that you love us enough to warn us, Lord, in your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to not fall into the spiritual idolatry that Israel had fallen into. Lord, I pray that you would protect us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to keep our eyes on you. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have free course in our lives. Lord, I do pray that you would just guide and direct my thoughts and my words tonight. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know you as their Savior, they'd come to know you tonight. Lord, maybe there's someone here that's trusted you as their Savior, but Lord, they're not living for you. Lord, they are living in sin that may not be known to those around them, but Lord, you know what it is. Lord, I pray you'd get a hold of their hearts tonight. Lord, if there's any sin in our lives, Lord, that we refuse to confess, Lord, I do pray that you would make us miserable in our sin. Lord, I pray that you would bring us to you. Lord, I pray that we'd confess our sins unto you tonight. Lord, I ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, in chapter 3, last week, as we were discussing in that chapter there, that chapter that's only 5 verses long, we discussed something called forgiveness. And that forgiveness is something that we all want from others, but we refuse to give so many times, isn't it? But we talked about how we should be a forgiving people because we have been forgiven. And as we transition from chapter 3 into chapter 4, we see that God is dealing with sin that's in Israel. Now, remember, if you will, of course, as we started out in the book of Hosea, we saw that the word of the Lord came unto Hosea. It came unto this man who was married to this, or was going to be married very shortly here, to this woman named Gomer. And as they were to get married, of course, Gomer is going to be unfaithful to her husband. She's going to live a life, an adulterous life. And Hosea is going to do everything he can to try to get his wife to come back home, to try to get her to see how much he loves her and how she would be cared for at home. But she refuses everything that he says. So then we see, of course, that he starts to plead with his children. He tells Jezreel, the oldest there, he says, say ye unto your brethren and unto your sisters as well, plead with your mother to come home. That was to no avail as well. So it just continues to get worse and worse and worse. And then we get to chapter 3 and we find this woman, Gomer, this woman who continued to live in her sin, and we found her on the auction block, literally on the auction block, where slaves would be auctioned off. And she was sold for 15 pieces of silver. Of course, that is half the price of what a slave would normally sell for. And mark my word tonight that no matter what the devil convinces you of, it's never going to be worth it to fall into sin. Never going to be worth it. It doesn't matter how much happiness it looks like is going to be there. You are going to find yourself on the auction block of sin. We went through the message, of course, the price tag of sin, and the Lord did a great work in my heart through that, and just understanding exactly what it will cost us to make that decision. That decision rather than choosing Christ. But we found Gomer on the auction block there. 15 pieces of silver, a homer of barley, which is what slaves would eat at that time. And we see that God told Hosea to go and to buy her back. And he did that. He brought her back home, and we saw a beautiful picture of forgiveness. But then we see here that God is going to describe to them the sin, but then also, as He's dealing with this sin, He's going to tell them about the consequences of sin as well. I want to preach to you a message this evening that I've entitled this, "The Lord Hath a Controversy." The Lord hath a controversy. Of course, we find that there in verse 1 when it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land." You know, something that that we can all understand and all agree with, unless you absolutely live under a rock and you haven't seen any news or any people or anything for that matter for the last however many years, we can all agree that this world is exactly in the shape that we read there in verse 1. That's the shape that our world is in. That's the shape that our country is in. That's the shape that that our state is in and that our town is in. Notice there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. When we look at America, there is no greater verse in the Bible that describes America better than that verse. Because that's what we see, isn't it? We see all of these terrible things going on. This past week, I saw a bill that was being introduced, and 210 people said that if a baby survives an abortion, they should not have the right to medical attention. Let them die. 210 people voted for that. Lord help us. That's where our land is. The Lord hath a controversy. Now here in this passage, in verse 1, we read this controversy with the land that the Lord has here, and it is a serious controversy. I want to take a few moments and discuss this controversy that the Lord had with Israel and see how our nations and our lives individually are many times just as guilty as Israel was here. Therefore, the Lord has a controversy with us as well. Remember where Israel started out? Remember, Israel called God's chosen people, the ones that were following the Lord, the ones that the Lord was doing a great work through. Remember, Israel, as they were coming out of Egypt. Remember when the other lands, they heard about the Red Sea parting and they walking over on dry ground. And then the armies of Egypt, the armies of Pharaoh came into the sea there chasing them, and they were swallowed up in the waters. And the lands that... In which Israel was walking to, they were scared that Israel was going to come there because they knew that God was fighting for Israel. Israel was following the Lord at one point. Israel was doing what they were supposed to be doing at one point. Yes, they had their ups and downs. They had all of these things that we think of when we think of the nation of Israel. And there was sin many times that had to be dealt with. But before we think that we can never end up in this state that Israel's in now, remember this. No matter how close we're following the Lord, Israel followed the Lord that close at one time as well. What happened though? What happened? They decided to trust the wisdom of man over the wisdom of God. That's what happened. You know, we live in a country in which the Word of God is being done away with. Where the Word of God, it's not something that people turn to for truth. And many times they want to say this: well, I'll turn to the science. I'll turn to this teacher or this professor, this person. I mean, look how many degrees they have. You know, degrees. Well, they bear a little bit of weight, but when it comes to common sense, many degrees bear no common sense. Amen. No weight. Truth of the matter is, you can get a degree in all kinds of things. Amen. Left-handed puppetry and all kinds of stuff. If you have a degree in left-handed puppetry, that's your prerogative, I guess. Amen. But the truth is, you can get a degree in anything you want. But that doesn't make you wiser than God. And no one in this world is as wise as God is. We need to follow the Word of God. And because we have followed man for so long, because we have stared at the TV screen and the computer screen and our cell phone screen more than we've stared at the Bible, that's how we got to the place and where we're at today. That's how we've got to where we are in a land. And notice here it says the Lord does not have a controversy with the land. It says with the inhabitants of the land. It's easy for us to say, yeah, our nation's in a mess. And yes, it is. But it's not our nation, it's the inhabitants of the nation. Why is it that we need to go out and knock on doors and get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to this lost and dying world? Because the Lord has a controversy with us. Because we are in a lost and dying world. There is no truth, there is no mercy, there is no knowledge of God in the land. The Lord has a controversy. So first of all, notice here this evening the mandate that was given. And if we can just get to the beginning of this passage down tonight, if we can just get this ingrained in our life and in our mind as much as all of these politics and things try to get ingrained into us, if we can get this one thing down, it's going to take care of so many other things. Look at the beginning of verse 1, if you will. Notice what it says. Hear the word of the Lord. That's what we need to hear, amen? We don't need to be listening to all of these things that are leading us astray. We need to hear the word of the Lord. Before God ever makes mention of a controversy itself, He instructs Hosea to say something to the nation of Israel, and it's something that we should understand and do as well, and that is this: hear the word of the Lord. You know, I know that there is great political controversy in our land and all of those things. And I know that in our current administration, there's ones that don't want to listen to the current administration. And in the past administration, there's ones that didn't want to listen to that as well. And at no point should anybody stand up and say, biblically speaking here, hear the words of the president. No, it's hear the word of the Lord. The president needs to follow the words of the Lord, amen? We need to be following God. That's what we need to be doing. The word of the Lord is the birthplace of truth. That's where it's found. Something that this world is searching for is this: truth. That's what they're looking for. Looking for truth. They know they need something because there's a void inside of them that needs to be filled. They are searching for truth, but the world is filling their heads with lies. The Bible said there would be this world to be calling good evil and evil good. How could that be? How could a nation that was founded on biblical principles, how could a nation get to where it is now? Because we have not been hearing the Word of the Lord. We have not been sounding forth the Word of God like it should be sounded forth. Listening to the world rather than listening to the Word of the Lord. This mandate that we see given here, it needs to be said to unbelievers. We need to be sounding it from the rooftops. I was very encouraged talking to Brother Jason Otteson, and they are back in Papua New Guinea now. They got there safely, but I was talking to him here a while back about the village that they live in and where their house was built and things like that. And he was telling me that he was able to get a loudspeaker to be able to put outside of his house. And I'm thinking, well, you're in the middle of a jungle. What are you going to do with a loudspeaker there? Amen. And because they're way up above the town there. And he says this. He said, there is all the time, all day long, there's preaching and singing going out from that loudspeaker. And everyone in the whole valley can hear that. We need more people that are willing to get out the Word of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that you carry a boom box on your shoulder and walk down Oxford and just blaring this out, but here's what I am saying. We need to be giving the gospel to everyone that we can. We need to be giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ because the Lord's coming back. And the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land here. We need to be telling people what the Bible says about salvation. We should be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ because this world we live in is lost and dying and it's on its way to hell. Lord, help us. We need to be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. But not only do we need to be proclaiming it to others, but we as believers need to be listening to God as well. Just because you tell someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ does not get you off the hook, if you will, of obeying the rest of the Bible. Well, as long as I tell someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't have to do this because God understands. No. Just as we need to be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to be obeying the Word of God as well. That hear the Word of the Lord, that's not just talking about hearing it with our ears. Applying it to our life as well. And there's too many people that go to a church because they say, well, I want to be in a church where the truth is preached. Yet they walk out those doors and they don't live the truth that was just preached from the Word of God. Lord, help us. As the Lord leads the church, there's always going to be ones who, of course, do not like what's going on, but it isn't up to us to decide what to do. It's up to us to listen to the Lord. Amen. You know, as you try to lead your family and follow the Lord, as you try to do that, there's going to be neighbors that don't like what you're doing. There's going to be neighbors who don't like that knock on their door. You know, the people in your workplace are going to get upset if you wear a shirt that says Jesus Saves on it. You're going to get upset at that. There's going to be people that get upset if you tell them what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them because it brings conviction to their heart. May not be accepted by everyone, but we are told by the Lord to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. We as believers, we need to be trying to follow the Lord. And if we do that, there's going to be people who try to steer us in another direction. Ones who are trying to make us listen to them rather than listening to God. Ones that want to yoke up with us. It's amazing to me how many phone calls we get here at the church. And as I'm listening to the messages here, different places that say, well, we need to yoke up for this cause or that cause. I got a call the other day. They said this. They said, want you to know that we're having a great rally coming to the Southeast Pennsylvania area. We want every church to be involved. The Billy Graham Association is coming to a town near you. I said, well, Billy, amen. We're not going to be involved in that kind of stuff. We're not going to do that. We're not involved in ones who are not preaching the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. We're being involved in that. There are many people who seem to be doing a great thing. But if they're not preaching the Word of God, we don't need to be involved. See, ones who are trying to make us listen to them rather than listening to God. Sometimes it seems as though the world is speaking louder than God does, doesn't it? But don't worry, the world's not speaking louder than God. It's just we tend to intently listen to the world rather than intently listening to God. We have the world just sounding into our ears all day long, and many times we go a day without even opening the Word of God. Church, we need to hear what God has to say, much more than we need to hear what others say. We need to hear the Word of the Lord. As God is getting ready to tell them about this controversy here, He's telling them that you need to hear the Word of the Lord. If Hosea would have just stood up there and started calling out sin without doing it the way that God wanted him to do it, there would not have been any fruit. But he didn't stand up there in the power of Hosea. He stood up there in the power of the Lord. And immediately he says, hear the word of the Lord. Not only the mandate that was given. Notice number two here, the message that was heard. The message that was heard. Something that we see about this message here is that it was not an easy message to hear. It wasn't a message that these people got up in the morning and said, man, I hope I hear a message like this morning. It's not the message that they wanted to hear. We like to hear things that are kind. We like to hear things that are going to make us feel good, amen. We like to hear good news. But the news will not always be good news. And that's not a bad thing. You know, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because God is trying to draw us closer to Himself. But we need to obey the Lord and get rid of that sin in our life that the Holy Spirit's convicting us of. When things are going well, we tend to just coast through life, don't we? Just getting comfortable and just coasting through. You know, the greatest revivals have came out of great controversy. Brother, came out of. When the church was under attack the most, that's when the gospel went the furthest. As we study the Bible and the New Testament, what we're going to find is this, that Satan tried to come and attack the church and persecute the church and do all of these things to make them quiet down. And he says, well, if I can just get these people to break up from each other, if I can just separate these believers, then they won't be meeting in the name of God. Well, he was successful in that, but the truth of the matter is he dispersed them to other nations. And what happened? Revivals broke out. Because they were out of their comfort zone, because there was great controversy that was going on, there was great things that were happening to them, things that caused them pain, things that took them out of that comfortable place in which they were. And the Lord did a great work, and churches were planted out of that. It was out of great controversy. When things are going well, we tend to coast. But when things are rough, when the waves of life seem like they're going to sink us, it's during those times that we see spiritual growth. Anyone who's ever gone through a trial, if they're honest with you, they're going to tell you this, that they grow more spiritually in the valley than they do on the mountaintop. You're going to find that, each and every one of us. You know, the mountaintop's a good thing, amen? We all like the mountaintop. But the truth of the matter is this, on the mountaintop, it's known as a place of rest. When you finally get past that toiling and all, and just a few years ago, I was doing a hike with some friends of mine, and we were going up this mountain, and I can't remember where it was. I can remember the whole hike, but I couldn't take you to that mountain today if I tried. But we were going up this mountain, and it was up and up and up, and it seemed like we'd never get to the top. And we finally got to the top. What did we do when we got there? We sat down. The time of rest. Because we had gone through so much walking and all of that to get up to the top, we were tired when we got there, and we rested. But when we were down at the bottom, we knew there was no time for rest. We knew that there was some work to do. When the toil was over on top and we were overlooking the valley, we were resting, and the mountaintop is where we want to sit and we want to rest a while, but we do not grow through rest. We grow through testing. And the Lord is saying here, notice, He is saying, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is looking at Israel and He's saying this, listen to me, listen to what I have to say to you. Listen to all the things that you've been doing wrong. The Lord's saying, I have something to say. I have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, with this people here. And though we love to hear the messages of comfort, we oftentimes need to hear the message of condemnation. Because that will cause us to grow. It calls us to think. You know, when the Holy Spirit does a work in our heart, when something is preached about and the Lord calls out sin in our lives and we trust the Lord and we say, Lord, by Your grace, I'm not going to do this, or by Your grace, I'm going to do this, whatever it may be, we find that we grow during that time. Those decisions are never easy to make. Doesn't matter how spiritual someone may appear to be, when the Holy Spirit calls out sin in their life, it's never an easy decision to get rid of that sin. Because our flesh doesn't want to do that. But this message that was taught here, it was one that though it did not bring great comfort, we know that listening to the Lord on the other side of this would bring great comfort. It would. One man said this, no great advance has been made in science, politics, or religion without controversy. Isn't that true? No matter what it is, you try to do something, there's going to be someone who goes against it. Someone who thinks they have a better way, amen? And there that statement is true. In this message here that these people needed to hear, we find some things that we are often guilty of as well. We think about some of these accusations, if you will, and these are things that would bring judgment upon this people. And remember when we discussed the price tag of sin, remember what we were discussing then and how we said that we all have the free will to choose. You don't have to go down that sinful path. You don't have to do that. It doesn't matter what you've been through or what so-and-so's done to you or what pain you felt and all of that. No one can make you sin. There's the statement we've all heard, well, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil didn't make you do anything. You chose to listen to the devil rather than listen to God. Amen. But the truth is, we don't have to choose that sinful life. But if we do, we will pay the price if we choose that sin. Sin that the Lord calls out here in this passage is this. Look at verse 1 and 2. Notice it says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Well, the first thing we see there is that there's no truth. No matter who you talk to, it seems as though they tell you what they think you want to hear rather than telling you the truth, isn't it? Doesn't matter who it is. We want people to be happy with what we have to say, and that's why our land is so filled with deceit. And it's easy for us to see the deceit in Washington D.C. or in our own state government and our politicians and TV shows. It's easy to spot deceit with that. But the Lord's not talking about the deceit out there. He's talking about the deceit in here, the deceit in His people. That's what he's talking about with the nation of Israel. And the truth of the matter is, this state of no truth, oftentimes it's not only found in the people out there, but it's found in the church house as well. We need the Lord to help us to be truthful. The Lord is calling out the deceit right in our own lives. And church, listen here. We should be truthful people because we belong to the God of truth. If you are in business, run your business with honesty and integrity. Be truthful with people, and God's going to bless that. As you deal with people each and every day, be truthful with people. We need to be people of truth. Our dealings every single day, people are looking for someone to be honest. Be honest in your workplace. See, that the sin that was called out was that there was no truth. Also, we see that it also says that there was no mercy. No mercy. The nation of Israel was full of people. Now, notice here, this is the people of God. This is the ones who are called the children of God. And it's full of people who are only looking out for number one. And their number one was not God. It was themselves. That's who they were looking out for. They were looking out for what would help them but not looking to help others. How did it get that way? Well, they took their eyes off Christ. They stopped caring about others. If they would have kept their eyes on God, they would not have become selfish. You know, in a soul-winning church, you know what you're going to find in a soul-winning church? You're going to find a Christ-like spirit. That's what you're going to find. You can walk into a church, and it absolutely amazes me. Of course, we went to Southwest Baptist Church, Pastor Jason Gaddis out there in Oklahoma, and immediately walking through the door, I could tell it was a soul-winning church because of the spirit of the church. I hadn't even seen their track record yet. I hadn't seen it. But there was a feeling in that church that you knew that the Spirit of the Lord was there. You knew they were a soul-winning church. You knew that they were reaching out to people. It was a beautiful sight. You go into this place, or before you ever pull into the parking lot there, you see the building there, and you see a lot over on the side. Of course, it's in Oklahoma City, and a rougher side of the neighborhood, and you see this fenced area. And inside that area is over 20 buses. Ready to pick up kids for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. What I'm saying here is this. The gospel of Jesus Christ needs to go out from a local independent fundamental Baptist church. It needs to go out. And each and every one of us, if we have mercy, then we're going to go soul winning. If we do not, then we're not going to go. If we do not do everything in our power to be a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ, your name is found there in verse 1 when it says this, no mercy. Think about that. Now, if you're here today and you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, the truth is this. You're here because someone showed you mercy and told you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone did. So how selfish are we to not give it out to someone else? Oh, we'll talk about sports, won't we? And I love sports. I love a lot of sports. Amen? I like to talk about sports. But if I'm more willing to stand in the checkout line and talk about the score of a game than I am about the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I am a person with no mercy. Because next year, I'm not going to remember what that game is. Tomorrow, I may not even remember what that game was. Amen? Talk about it today like I'm full of enthusiasm. You ask me tomorrow who played yesterday, and I'll say, I have no idea. We need to be a people that are merciful. The Lord had a controversy with the land. He said that there was no truth. He said that there was no mercy. You know, if someone has the truth, that truth is going to make a difference in their life, and they're going to become merciful people. You see, it makes its way through our life. Anyone who refuses to tell others about Christ is a prideful person. That may not be popular preaching, but it's biblical preaching. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His own words taught that. The theme this year is each one, reach one, and I believe that we can do that. But in order for us to do that, in order for each and every one of us to reach at least one person, you know what we all must have? Mercy. We must have mercy on people. We must care for others. And it doesn't matter what everyone is doing around you. You follow the Lord. The controversy that the Lord had with the nation of Israel was a controversy because they had no truth and no mercy. In your workplace, it's going to be full of people who have no mercy. It's going to be full of them. Even in your family and in your communities and ones like that, guess what? They live in a pride-filled world. It should not surprise us that people are prideful. That doesn't mean we should be prideful. Just because other people are looking out for what they would call number one doesn't mean that that's how we have to live. Let's be getting out the gospel. Let's be merciful people. Notice not only did he say no truth, not only did he say no mercy, but notice this next one here. He said no knowledge. There in verse 1 of our passage, or at the end, it says, nor knowledge of God in the land. And look at verse 6, if you will. My people are destroyed. Notice, for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Look over at verse 14 of our passage. It says, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. We see a lack of knowledge there. We live in the information age. You can look up anything online that you'd like to look up, and guess what? You're going to find something about it. You may not find the truth about it, but you're going to find something about it. There is knowledge everywhere. We can know everything we need to know, but yet, many times we're in the same boat as the nation of Israel was. You know, Israel could have known. Israel could have been full of knowledge. So why didn't they have knowledge? Well, for the same reason that we do not have knowledge many times. Just like we see there in verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Notice here, not because they didn't have it, but because they have rejected knowledge. They've rejected it. This world that we live in, if we go out and give out the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know what we're going to find? People that have no knowledge. And after we give them the gospel, they may not trust Christ. And if they leave that place not trusting Christ, it doesn't mean that they don't have knowledge because it wasn't offered to them. It's because they rejected it. And if we as believers think to ourselves that there's anything in this Word of God that we can pick and choose what we're going to obey, then we are rejecting knowledge. We need to obey the whole counsel of God. And preach that and sound that forth. Our land knows more than they ever have. We can put a man on the moon. We can harness energy from the sun. And we can do unbelievable things. They figured out how to launch a rocket. And of course, for many years, that rocket would just be dollar signs just going up in the air. And they never knew how to land it. Now they can land it on a boat. There's so much knowledge in this land. But yet there's no knowledge of God. Because we're following man's knowledge rather than God's knowledge. You know, unfortunately, in the midst of all of that knowledge, man can do unbelievable things, but very few can lead someone to the Lord. Because there's a lack of knowledge in the land. In verse 2 there, we also see something else. We see, notice by swearing and lying, notice it says, and killing. This is speaking of unmerited death. It's not speaking of natural death. This is speaking of murder. This is speaking of a man taking another's life without rightful cause. And as you look across our land, you know what you'll find? Murder rates are on the rise. They're everywhere. You're going to find that there were school shootings, and they seem to be a common occurrence. A few years ago, guess what? Our land was absolutely blown away at a horrific school shooting. You know what it is today? Just normal circumstances. Or just another shooting today. Unmerited wars. Abortion is everywhere. And when I think of an abortion, I am met with the remembrance as what I talked about this morning with Cain and his brother Abel, talking about how the blood crieth from the land. Can you hear what the Lord is hearing from our land today? The blood crying out from our land. Church, our land is in trouble. Our land deserves the judgment of Almighty God. And the only reason we're still here, the only reason we still have the opportunity to witness to others is because of the mercy of God. Lord, help us. Another sin we see that He called out here is defilement. There in verse 2, notice by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Look at verse 13. The Bible says this, they sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore, your daughters shall commit whoredoms and your spouses shall commit adultery. Verse 18, their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. Notice we see defilement. In those verses I just read, it makes us think even more and more about the United States of America. It's what we see going on in our land. It seems as though in this nation, immorality is a way of life. It's not just accepted, it's promoted. Why is that? Because man has become lovers of their own selves. That's what we see in our land today. There's adultery and fornication all around us, and in many cases it's happening in the very house of God. Lord, help us. The Bible declares that marriage is to be between one man and one woman, and it is for life. And what God has put together, let no man put asunder. But yet we have people in the church and even pastors who are living in adultery and committing fornication. Our land is defiled, church. It's defiled. Exactly what we see happening in the nation of Israel. It's happening in the United States of America. The only cure for that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only cure. And though we as believers will agree with that and will say, we need to get the gospel out, there's less churches today getting out the gospel than there ever has been. I praise the Lord for church planting, and I got to meet some just very passionate church planters this past week, and they're reaching into these communities. But church, you know what we need? We need more churches. We need more churches that are willing to take an unapologetic stand on the Word of God and say, this is what God says. Hear the Word of the Lord. That's what we need in our land. Because our land is defiled. Also, we see a decline. Look at verse 16. It says this, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Notice there we see a spiritual decline. Something happening every single day in our nation. Not long ago, it was normal for people to go to church. But it's strange now, isn't it? Tell somebody you're going to church on a Sunday, they're going to look at you like you got three heads. You're talking about going to church. Don't you have other things to do? But many people, you'll mention that you're going to church and they'll say something like this. Yeah, I used to go to church with my grandparents. I used to ride the church bus. Yet there's been such a spiritual decline in our nation. On Sunday mornings, there are fewer people in church than there ever has been, but yet sports stadiums are fuller than they ever have been. Selling out thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Yet churches are empty, closing their doors. Because of a spiritual decline. We have fallen into what we see in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Turn over there, if you will. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Why is it that our nation is where they are? Because of the churches that have fallen into what we see in verse 4 here of chapter 2 in Revelation. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Left our first love. Followed everything else, haven't we? Churches that are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they've left their first love. The ones that are saying, "Well, we just have to do things just a little bit different. We need a rock band up here. We need different ones that are going to come in and they are going to educate our people on today's philosophy. We need to be more inclusive, and we need to be more biblical. That's what we need to be." We need to follow what God's Word has to say. One of the things that I heard when we were at this conference this past week, it was an amazing thing. They said that they had gotten this building. One of the church planters had gotten this building, and before it was I believe it was an Assembly of God church. I believe it was. And they said you walked into the building, and they were able to purchase it for a very economical price, and got just a great price on the building. But they walked in, and there was a drum pit. So a little pit up here where the drum set would sit down in there and all of that. And so they asked, what'd you do with that? They said, we turned it into a baptistry, amen. Put a baptistry in there. You know, if more churches would be like that, we'd be doing okay in this land. Following a biblical pattern. We don't need this world's philosophy to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need the Word of God. That's what we need. We see that there was idolatry in the land. This nation was worshiping false idols, and their idol worship led them into other sins. We see that they were full of iniquity, and the wording of that verse is so simple there in verse 7 and 8 of Hosea chapter 4. It says this, it says that they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. That's what we see today. So many have set their heart on iniquity, the sins that the Lord called out there. So first we see the mandate that was given. Then we see the message that was heard. And lastly here, notice, we see the charge for their sin. A lot of the things that we talked about with the price tag of sin, the Lord reminds them of that here. He's telling them exactly what they've done wrong, and He says, because of that, here's what's coming. There in verse 3, we see this, therefore shall the land mourn. We see mourning. Church, sin is always going to bring sorrow. It doesn't matter what your friends try to convince you of, what your co-workers try to convince you of, what your family tries to convince you of, no matter what they say, if they there's going to be people that try to convince you that the Bible's outdated, it's never been more in date. Amen. It is applicable today just like it was thousands of years ago. We have the Word of God for English-speaking people found in the King James Version Bible. And this is what we need to follow. Sin will always cost you something, and it will always bring you sorrow. We see that there's going to be mourning in the land. Also in verse 5, notice what it says there. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. What do we see there? We see defeat. We don't like to be defeated. We don't like to fall under another force. But the nation of Israel, this one who was once a great, powerful force, they will be reduced to rubble because of their sin. They're going to be taken over. There's going to be the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and they're going to come in and they're going to take them over and take them into captivity. The Lord said that's what's going to happen. No matter how great the Babylonians and the Assyrians were, they could not have defeated Israel if God was fighting with Israel. But Israel left their first love. Israel decided what they knew was best. God says, you're going to suffer defeat. God could have sent a single man to take Israel captive, and God could have given them over to a single man if that's what He desired to do because of their sin. It had nothing to do with the size of the enemy, but rather the sin in the heart of Israel. That's why they were going to be defeated. Notice also not only mourning, not only defeat, but notice another charge for their sin was this, disgrace. We see that verse 7 and verse 18 and 19. And as we discussed the price tag of sin, the truth is if you follow the Lord, you're going to have glory. If you desire to sin, you're going to have shame. That's just what it's going to be there. The shame will be in every part of your life. Why is it when a man and a woman are in adulterous relationships or have gambling addictions or are alcoholics or drug addicts given to pornography or whatever it may be? Why is it that you see their whole life ripped apart? Because sin will always bring you to shame. Well, I just wanted one drink. Next thing you know, their life is in shambles. Why? All I did is gamble $100, and then it led to another, and to another, and to another, and there are thousands of dollars in gambling debt. Family ripped apart. Well, it was just one adulterous relationship. I didn't think anyone would ever know. God knows. The things that come across our cell phone shouldn't be there. And we stop and we look at that. God knows what we saw. God knows what you stared at. God knows what it is. It's going to bring shame. Sin affects every area of life. And then also dissatisfaction. No matter what the devil promises you, you will never be satisfied in a life of sin. Never. And then lastly this evening, notice here the command that was given at the end here. I want you to look here at the in verse 15 of our passage. Notice what the Bible says here, verse 15. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, Yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye into Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth-Aven, nor swear the Lord liveth. Notice he's saying, though Israel is going to do this, don't let Judah offend. Be steadfast. Stand strong. Just because Israel was doing something did not mean that Judah had to follow. Church here, just because another believer commits a sin, drops their dress standards, listens to ungodly music, and whatever else they do, that doesn't mean that we have to falter. But here's what the devil's going to say. Well, they did that and got away with it. Doesn't matter what someone else did. We have to give account of ourselves unto the Lord. Be steadfast. Do not be wavering. Notice, not only should we be steadfast, but notice we should also be separated. It says there in that verse, come ye not. Church, we should stay away from places of sin. A Christian has no place in the bar or in other ungodly places. We should not take part of the sinful deeds in the name of entertainment. But there's many believers that will say that. Well, I just do it for a good time. Lord, help us. Couldn't do that. Do not let your good be evil spoken of. Not only should we be steadfast, not only should we be separated, but notice also we should be sacred. Look at there in verse 15, the Bible says this, neither go ye up to Beth-Aven nor swear. Notice, the Lord liveth. You know, in the nation of Israel, there were people who were taking the Lord's name in vain. They didn't care what they were saying. They didn't know they didn't care what was going on. They were just using the Lord's name just flippantly out there. And I don't care what the world says or even what some so-called churches said. It is still wrong and evil to use the Lord's name in vain. It is. As I've said before, one of the things that just rings over in my mind when thinking about taking the Lord's name in vain is this. Taking the Lord's name in vain is when His name is on our lips, but His love is not in our heart. Lord, help us. We're saying something and saying the Lord's name but not thinking about the Lord is taking His name in vain. The Bible says we should not do that. We should not defile the Lord's name, but we should live in awe of His name. When we read Isaiah, we see that when he was there in the throne room of God, we do not see people taking the Lord's name in vain. No, we see that it was a very sacred place. And we see a repetitive word over and over and over, and that is this, holy, holy, holy. That's what we find. We need to be living sacred lives. You see, our Lord is holy. That's our God. And church, we see what sin did to the nation of Israel. We see that it did not work out for them. And if we are involved in sin, whether I mentioned it tonight or some other sin that the Holy Spirit called out in your life tonight, can I tell you this? It's not going to work out for you either. It's not going to. There's a lot of sins that have been buried for many years. Been buried. But the Lord knew they were there. The Lord knew it. And it's going to come out at some point. But each and every one of us, we need to see this message tonight as a warning to us. Whatever it is the Holy Spirit spoke to you about tonight, do not give way for the devil to speak in your ear saying, yeah, but it'll be okay. Yeah, you don't have to take care of that for me. Well, just think on it for a little bit. Don't do that. Take care of it immediately. Church, we need to stand fast. We need to follow the Lord. Because our nation is in the same place that Israel was in. And the same antidote that we see for them is the same antidote that will work for us as well. And that is this. Hear the word of the Lord. There was a controversy. Lord, help us to continue to preach and teach Jesus.